Hi, my name is Michael Gatlin, and I'm senior pastor of the Vineyard Church in Duluth, Minnesota. If you're listening to this recording, then it's probably because you recently made a decision to become a follower of Jesus Christ. And if that's the case, I'm really glad for you. On this recording, what I'd like to do is share with you some beginning pointers for starting out your new life in Christ. I'd like to remind you, first of all, about the message that you probably heard before you made a decision to follow Christ. This is a message that all new Christians need to understand. First of all, God loves you. God loved you before you made a decision to become a follower of Christ, and God loves you right now. In fact, God loves everyone in the world, all people. The Bible teaches that people matter to God. But the fact is that all people, including you and including me, sin against God. We try to run our own lives, don't we? We all try to call our own shots and be our own bosses. And the Bible describes this as sin. You see, we ought to have God calling the shots in our lives, because after all, He is God, and we ought to be listening to Him and following His ways, but instead, we all do our own thing. Each one of us has particular sins and habits that we struggle with. None of us loves people the way we ought to. None of us loves God the way we ought to. In any case, even though God loves us, we all sin against God. The Bible says that there's a penalty for our sins. The penalty is that we would have to face God in judgment and be judged for our sin. The wonderful good news of Christianity is that God loved us so much that He sent His Son, Jesus, to pay the price for our sins so that we could escape judgment. God loves you so much that He substituted His Son in your place and sent Him to die for you on the cross. Let me ask you three questions. The first one is this. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins on the cross? I hope you say yes, because that's the beginning point for being a follower of Christ. I believe that Jesus died for my sins and in my place on the cross. And here's the second question. Have you received Jesus into your heart? Have you asked Him through the Holy Spirit to come live inside of you? Again, I hope you say yes, because becoming a Christian is more than just believing. It's also receiving a person, Jesus, inside. My third question is this. Have you committed yourself to follow Him for the rest of your life? Again, I hope you say yes. Because these are three statements that every new believer needs to be able to make and say, this is true of me. Number one, I believe that Jesus Christ died in my place for my sins. Number two, that I've received Christ into my heart, into my life. And then number three, that I've committed myself to be His follower. If you've said yes to those three things and can make those statements, then God promises in the Bible to give you eternal life. That means you have the wonderful, good fortune of living with God forever. And forever includes the time after you die, but forever also includes right now. God promises to give you eternal life, and God promises to give you, because you're a follower of His, He promises to give you life right now. Well, one of the most wonderful things about being a new Christian is that you get to be a part of God's family. And that's what I want to talk about for the remainder of this recording, what it means to be part of God's family now that you've made a decision to follow Jesus. You see, every human being is born physically into this world, but when you ask Jesus to come live inside of you, you were born again. That's the words that Jesus uses in the Gospel of John, chapter 3. He says that we're born once physically, but when He comes to live inside of us, we're born again spiritually. That's what happened to you when you asked Christ to live inside of you. You were born again. And when you were born again, you were born into God's family as a child of God. God became your Father. And do you know, like every good father, God, your heavenly Father, has certain ambitions for you? Now, I don't know what kind of a family you were raised in and whether or not your natural father was a wonderful dad who provided well for you. Maybe he regularly expressed that he loved you and cared for you. Or, if unfortunately, you grew up in a home where dad was not wonderful and didn't often express love for you. Or perhaps you never really got to know your dad because of death or divorce or abandonment. Whatever the case, I want you to hear this real clearly. No matter how good your dad was here on earth, your heavenly Father surpasses him completely in terms of His love, His provision for you, and His ambition for your life. Here are some of the ambitions your Heavenly Father has for you. These are things that God your Father wants to see happen in your life as you grow in the family of God. First of all, God wants you to grow up. It isn't enough for God to have new baby children who make decisions to follow Him. He wants those new baby children to become mature Christians. In the same way, no good parent wants their child to be permanently 2 months old, but to learn to learn certain good habits and to learn to be a mature and capable adult. So God your Father wants you to become a mature Christian, a mature follower of Jesus. He wants you to grow up in your knowledge of Him and your knowledge of the Bible. He wants you to grow up in relationship with Him so that you increasingly get to know God as your Father and as your friend. And He wants you to grow up to resemble Him so that when people look at you that they might say, "Man, you're a chip off the old block. You're a lot like God, your Father." So how do we grow up as children of God? Well, there are just a few things that God has laid out for us in the Bible that teach us how to grow up as new believers. One important thing that you'll want to do every day, in fact, several times a day, is to pray. I would encourage you to set aside some time each morning, specifically for praying to God. The time doesn't have to be very long. It may only be 10 or 15 minutes. And you don't have to get down on your knees or close your eyes to pray. In fact, I like to take a walk around my neighborhood on nice days and just talk quietly to God when it's early in the morning and there's no one else around. But whatever place feels the most comfortable to you, whether it's in your bedroom or in your study or taking a walk around the park, set aside a consistent time each day just to pray. And prayer is nothing other than simply talking to God. Tell God your Father what your needs are. Talk to God about the needs of others around you. Ask God to meet the needs of those that you see around you, that live with you. And ask God to change you if you have certain bad habits that you know God wants to change in your life. You can ask God for those changes. God can give you strength to overcome anything that's going on in your life. Just spend some time talking with Him. And as a part of talking to God, you'll want to thank God for the blessings in your life. You also want to acknowledge to God that there are errors in your life that are wrong, that the Bible calls sin. And so part of your prayer will also include confession. Take time each day to pray to God, and pray as many times as you need to. Pray as many times as needs come to your mind. The second thing you want to do in growing up in your relationship with God, your Father, is to start reading the Bible. I would encourage you to get a really good modern translation of the Bible, like the New International Version. It's available at any Christian bookstore, and we have lots of copies here at the Vineyard. But get a good modern translation of the Bible so that you can read comfortably, and then set aside some time each day to read a few chapters of the Bible. If you're an average reader, you can read a few chapters of the Bible in about 20 minutes. You may want to start in the New Testament, reading the Gospels, the biographical accounts of Jesus written by His followers. The names of the Gospels are right at the beginning of the New Testament, if you're not familiar with them, and it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So start reading a few chapters of the Bible, and then as you read, ask God, "God, what would you like to say to me through these stories about Jesus? What would you like to say to me about myself, about deepening my relationship with you?" And then make sure when you're reading that you apply the Bible and what it's saying to your own life in your own situation. So you pray, you read the Bible, and third, get involved in a local church. You're certainly invited to become part of the Vineyard Church here in Duluth, and I would love you to have you be part of the church that I pastor. But whether you're involved here or at another church, you need to be involved somewhere. Church involvement includes taking part in the worship services on Sunday mornings so that you can hear the Bible taught and have an opportunity to worship God and thank Him. And church involvement here at the Vineyard would also include becoming part of a small group, a place where you could get to be known, where your needs would get to be known. It's also a place where you could begin to care for other people. Here at the Vineyard for new believers, we have what we call a Beginning the Christian Life study, where new believers can attend a group for a brief period of time in order to get their questions answered and also in order for you to learn more about the Bible. If you would be interested in coming to one of our Beginning the Christian Life studies, call the church office for information or just stop by our Welcome Center on the weekends, and somebody there can help you find the appropriate group for your schedule and for your needs. Well, God your Father wants you to grow up as a new child of God, and God your Father also wants you to be useful in the family of God. Any good parent's ambition for their child is not only that they would become mature, but also that they would become useful and take responsibility for their decisions and take responsibility for some of the chores around the family. Part of growing up as a child of God is that you would be useful and take responsibility for your decisions and for your family, and then also for the larger family of God called the church. And there are so many ways that God your Father wants you to give away whatever you have to other human beings. Here at the Vineyard in Duluth, we have ministries to the homeless, to those who are hungry, to children. There's teaching children in Vineyard Kids on the weekends. There's junior high and senior high ministries. There's ministry to college students. We have a food pantry. We have people who minister to prisoners. We have volunteers that stuff envelopes and work around the office. You know, people who have good office or clerical skills. The fact is, whatever you desire, in whatever way you desire to be involved, and however you wish to be useful, God your Father has a place for you in His family. Christianity, of course, is a blessing for us, but it's not just a blessing for us. Christianity is also something that we need to give away. So God wants us to grow up. He wants you to be useful. And finally, God wants you to go out. Right before Jesus went to heaven, He said to His followers in Matthew 28, "Go into all the world and make disciples." That means a follower or a student of all nations or all people groups. You see, something wonderful has happened in your life. Jesus Christ has come into your life, and you're probably already seeing some changes. If not, you will be seeing changes in your life over the next numbers of days or weeks. You'll find yourself becoming more loving. You'll probably discover that there's areas of your life that God wants to help you change in. You'll find yourself becoming more sensitive to people, more forgiving, more patient. You're going to start becoming more like Jesus. And the wonderful things that are going on in your life and the wonderful decision you made to follow Jesus needs to be shared with your friends and your family members and your co-workers. Listen to me. Some of your friends and family members and co-workers will be excited about your new decision to follow Jesus and to participate in the life of His family, the local church. Others of your friends or family members will not be excited because they don't yet know God in a personal way, or perhaps they had a bad experience at church, or maybe even some misunderstandings about Christianity. But whether they're upset with you or excited about your new decision, you still need to pray for your friends and for your family and for your co-workers that they could discover Jesus for themselves. And pray for yourself. Pray that you would be a really good representative of Jesus as you go around trying to talk about Him and live for Him. Well, right now, because of your decision, you're a child of God, with all the privileges and responsibilities of being one of His children. And I want you to know that no matter what you do, how well you follow, or how badly you follow, you will always be one of God's children. And I do hope and pray for you that you would be a really good follower of Jesus and represent Him well in the world. May God bless you, and it is a real privilege for me to help you begin the Christian life.